Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, Resume Update 2011, Part 2. Here we go. Now, I was surprised the other day. We were talking about a particular client, their resume they had asked for help with, and he was talking about submitting it as a PDF, and you and Wendy were saying, you can't assume that the tracking system that companies use support PDFs. You have to use Microsoft Word. I was shocked by that, frankly.
Yeah, in fact, we even go a step further, folks. I don't think we've ever said this before, but if you upgrade to the latest version of Microsoft Word, and of course, this is one of those cases where we're being timely rather than timeless. It depends on when you're listening to this. This cast was recorded in 2011, addressing marketplace realities in 2011. But if you just updated the latest version of Microsoft Word and your current, and the latest version of Microsoft Word is less than 3 or 4 months old, you want to step it back down a version. You don't want to send a new version that it might, in fact, create some formatting issues, particularly if your resume has narrow margins and maybe you've got a lot of stuff on your one page. That will tend to cause it to not present well if somebody's looking at it in an older version of Word. Look, big companies use applicant tracking system, they're called ATSs, to store resumes, and they don't always accept other formats. You'd be surprised how many of them don't accept PDFs. They're huge systems, they're part of the HR system usually. It holds all the payroll, time and labor benefits, compensation modeling, self-service HR, talent management, performance management, learning management systems. Because they're so big, folks, they don't get updated very often. Like, guys, every 10 or 15 years, not kidding. Imagine you're sending your resume to a dinosaur, and in a sense, you'll be right.
Some people call us that, by the way.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, we roar. That's okay. At least if we're going to be dinosaurs, can we be T-Rexes? That'd be fun. Okay, so and something else, too. When the ATSs started coming out, they were new, okay? But they've been left alone because most companies realize that all of the pre-screening you can possibly do doesn't take the place of managers spending time, hiring managers and HR people spending time and looking at each resume. They give you the time and you making your resume nothing but a one that'll get through a tracking system is not the way to go because that's not the critical step. If you get through the tracking system because the tracking system like you, I'd be willing to bet that the hiring manager won't. In fact, a lot of people say the executive summary and the thing at the top, I've forgotten the name, but there's a different sort of we'll call it objective statement, but there's something else at the top that people often call the executive summary. It's kind of a list of keywords essentially are thrown into this paragraph.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the thing that says, I keep my friends close and my puppies close.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that. No. If you do that, you end up being penny wise and pound foolish because you're going to get through the tracking system, perhaps, but you're probably going to be available for too many jobs, which is not necessarily helpful. And the hiring manager is not going to like your resume. The key step is the hiring manager, the HR manager, who determines who's going to get an interview because that's what resumes are for, to get you an interview. So these ATS systems, they tend to parse the resumes into a proprietary format once they're received. In order for your resume to still look like it did when you sent it, you can't use tables, you can't lose lines, they can't use other fancy formatting. The more formatting there is in your resume, the worse it'll look to the hiring manager, okay? And if you're applying to a small company, they probably don't have a wide range of systems to look at your resume. Yeah, okay, most computers will open a PDF, but why make it a bit harder? Off the shelf, they don't have Adobe. If you've got a PDF that's pretty rich and they're not looking at it with Adobe, or the hiring manager is looking at it, looking at your PDF on an iPad, doesn't always present well, okay? Just use Word. And yes, I know those of you who are listening to this about iPads are saying, well, Word doesn't always present well either on an iPad. Yes, but the hiring manager who's using iPad knows that, and MS Word is much more versatile than even PDFs are.
Good. Okay. Now, we were forwarded a newsletter by one of our members recently, and you know, he included the newsletter, but he prefaced it by saying, hey, thank you guys for helping keep me focused and avoiding following the infinite amounts of junk advice out there.
Junk advice, yeah. When he said junk advice, I was like, yay! Yeah.
Now, we don't like the fact that there's junk advice out there, but we're thrilled that folks don't think our advice is junk. So he thanks us. Then he goes on, or he didn't go on. He included the newsletter. And this is what it said. Go beyond achievements. Achievements are not enough. Everyone has them. It's like...
You know, when I got this from Wendy, I literally put that in my Hall of Fame top 10 stupidest things I've ever heard about resumes. It is that bad. Everyone has them. Here's how bad that advice is from somebody who's been interviewing people for jobs for 25 years. Okay. I've seen tens of thousands of resumes. At some point, I had a stack of resumes in my office that was so high that the weight of the stack of the resumes had caused the bottom 30 or 40 resumes to stick together so that you could not get them apart. And there had been no water underneath them at all. They'd been in an air-conditioned space the entire time. It was 4 feet tall. And yeah, I'd put some stuff on it, but the bottom 30 or 40 resumes were all stuck together. That's how many resumes over a couple of year period of time that I had seen, constantly looking at resumes. This is the stupidest, top 10 stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know what? The idea, everyone has them. No, everyone doesn't have achievements, folks. This is the big mistake. This is a lie someone's foisting on you and trying to make resumes different or better in order to sell a service. This is dumb.
Hey, dude, you got to stop because you need to wipe the spittle from your pop filter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is dumbness on a let's bring it back. This is galactically stupid.
You're going galactically stupid on us, are you?
Okay. I am. I'm totally going ballistic.
You went there. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Thanks to gravity, you have to go ballistic in order to go galactic. Look, guys, here's the problem. If someone's saying that everyone has them, when they came up with that, they're like, yeah, I get resumes all the time with achievements on them. I bet that person doesn't even know the difference between a bullet and achievement and a responsibility. The average resume that I get has as many bullets of responsibilities. No, more responsibility bullets than they have achievement bullets. It's figuratively a crime. It's just dumb. And everyone has them. Everyone has achievements. Oh, yeah, technically everyone has them. But the issue is on resumes, no, they don't. And what's more, if you put out a resume with nothing but achievements, with the responsibilities paragraph as appropriate, you will have people beating a path to your door. But people don't do that. They just think, oh, I need bullets on there. It's literally it's top 10 dumbest things. Achievements are everything. It's impossible to say whether accomplishments or achievements are more important on your resume than responsibilities, because without the responsibilities, we don't know, we don't have context for the achievement. We need both, but we do know accomplishments are the piece that everybody gets wrong. If you spent twice as much time on your accomplishments as you did on your responsibilities, we would not argue with you. We often tell people, send us a 3-page resume, which has every accomplishment you did during that time, during your job. I don't care if you send me a 3-sentence responsibilities paragraph followed by 20 bulleted accomplishments for each job. And then I'll just whittle out the ones. And that's part of the career management document, right? That we recommend everybody keep and expand on each quarter for half an hour each quarter, reviewing it and updating it with what you've done in the last 90 days. So that at any given time, I can look at my 3-page career management document. And for any given job, I can maybe tweak the responsibilities paragraph a little bit and then pick out the accomplishments and maybe change the wording of those a little bit, but pick out the accomplishments that are best for this particular job that I'm willing to put a cover letter on top of my resume for and send it to the hiring manager. Achievements are everything. Achievements demonstrate your ability to be successful at things which are important to the company. They are the feature which starts the benefit thinking process in the mind of the manager, or the recruiter, or the interviewer. If you can increase revenue at one company, the hiring manager is going to believe that you can do it at his. And look, that's all he has to go on to decide. He can't predict that you'll do it in the future. But if you haven't done it in the past, what makes you think you can convince him you can do it in the future?
Right. And folks, just to be clear, that's a lot different than saying responsible for $10 million marketing budget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I was an executive at a high level. Well, what we're looking for is a marketing person who can really grow revenue. And then the person says, well, I had a $10 million budget. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's a responsibility. And did you get fired because you overspent or underspent or because you didn't meet your goals? Oh, no, I did. I said, well, it's not on your resume. Yeah. This is the conversation the manager is having in his head while saying no to your resume, even though you may, in fact, have done the thing he needs you to have done. But if you don't spend time on your achievements, if you don't spend time on bulleted accomplishments, we're never going to know. Never going to know. So this is manager tools. How do you get the accomplishment bullets right? A couple of examples. So here's a bad example. Bullet in front of this statement. Designed, laser machined, laser welded components and assemblies. Okay, dudes. I'm going to try to keep myself calm. I was with a client yesterday and somebody said, Mark, you're a pretty forceful guy. How do you give feedback, negative feedback, and stay cool? And I say, well, one of the things I use is I use the word dude as a way of taking the edge off of it. If a manager says to his direct, leans over a little bit and kind of cocks his head and says, dude, can I give you some feedback? It takes a little bit of the sting out of it. Okay. So dudes, if you put down on your resume, designed laser machined, laser welded components and assemblies. Okay. And you think that's an accomplishment, you are smoking crack. Okay. And it's bad.
It's bad crack. It doesn't even make you feel good. It's bad crack.
Yeah, you should go to jail. This is jailable material right here. Because the guy who got your job after you was responsible and therefore probably did at some point design laser machine, laser welded components and assemblies. If the guy behind you was literally responsible for and therefore probably did the same thing you were listing, it's not an accomplishment. It's a responsibility. Now, listen to this. This is Wendy. This is Wendy's advice, and it's masterful. Here's what to do to turn that accomplishment into a great bullet. First, you've got to ask yourself, why? Why was it important that you design these components? Okay. Maybe it's because without them, the new dishwasher line wouldn't be able to be built, or the company could reduce the price of dishwashers, right? Or we could reduce the number of recalls of dishwashers. Okay. Now we're talking outcomes. Now we're talking the feature. Or the benefit relative to the feature of what you were responsible for. Then here's the second question that's so important. What was the definition of success? How did you know that you had done this job well? Did you work to cost constraints or time constraints? Were there targets which needed to be met? Now, incorporate those answers into your bullet, okay? So, reduced cost of component 30% by designing laser machine, laser welded components and assemblies. Boom. Delivered 100% of 75 new component designs on time and within cost and material constraints. Prevented estimated $1 million recall loss by identifying faulty component and designing replacement. Each accomplishment that we just mentioned follows simple formula, verb, result, method. Reduced, delivered, prevented. Okay. You might think that reading 20 sentences a row, all written the same way, sounds terrible. And you'd be right if you're reading a novel. But as a resume, if you do that, bullet after bullet after bullet of just boom, home run, boom, home run, boom, home run, double, single, triple, home run. You know what that is? That is catnip to hiring managers. In fact, it's crack. It's like, oh my God. In fact, when you mess up, you're smoking your own crack. When you actually do it right, you're giving the hiring manager crack. It's a really good thing. Okay, that's a really bad joke.
I think we should stick with the catnip analogy.
Yeah, frankly. Yeah. It is. It is. I read these resumes, and it's one or two out of 100, and you go, oh my gosh, look at this person literally nailed it. Bam, 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 bam. And the verb result method format comes across as very hard hitting. Starting with a verb is a really active, powerful tone of voice for a resume. And if you've only got one page, you can't be guilty of putting all kinds of passive voice in there. It sends a message, hey, this person knew what they were supposed to do in order to be successful, knew what companies were looking for, and then in fact did that exact thing and can show a measurement to prove it. Okay. Wow. That is awesome. Okay. One more thing about accomplishments. We said it earlier. Accomplishments are about your ability to be successful at things which are important to the company. So that means, folks, awards are not accomplishments. What you did to get the award is the accomplishment, okay? You know what's important to the company. It awarded you for that, okay? Don't list the award. List the thing you did. The award, whether it was monetary or a tombstone or a vacation, is important to you, but your resume needs to have the part which is what is important to the company, which by definition is going to be important to the manager. that shows them that you're willing and able to replicate what you've done before for them in the future. That's it.
Good.
So we want to include a cover letter. That turns us from features to benefits, and that's a hugely important thing. It makes the hiring manager, the interviewer, the recruiter start thinking yes when they look at your background. Don't put an executive summary on there. Don't get rid of your objective statement and then think, well, the solution is an executive summary. Also a bad idea. It's wasted space, folks. Okay. You got to use MS Word, and achievements are everything. Get them right. Go back through. If you haven't looked at your resume in the last year, folks, the market is going to get hotter in the next year. In fact, I want to mention something about an article I just read, Mike. Get your accomplishments right, because that's the things that sings to recruiters. And I got to tell you, I just was recently reading Fortune on a plane, and I read an article. And there were some dumb things in the article, but actually it was a better article than most. And it said, the return of multiple offers, and it talks about the hiring market maybe coming back a little bit. And this was in late July of 2011. But one of the people, and I'm sure he's a good guy, I bet he's actually smarter than me about a lot of things, a guy was quoted as saying, it's a very schizophrenic market right now. I've seen many candidates get multiple offers. On the other side, there are other candidates who are still struggling and may never get their careers on track. Okay, I think I know what this guy was doing. He was trying to help people who are struggling feel okay and blaming on the market, which is sort of the schizophrenic. He calls the market schizophrenic and says, good guys are doing great, and people maybe who think they're good but maybe not aren't doing so well, and it's frustrating. People have been unemployed for longer than a year. But look, folks, I just want to be clear. I'm going to say something that maybe some of you won't like. If you're searching for a job, we want to help, but I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it feels a little bit hurtful. This is what friends do. John Luck's book, which we love, Rites of Passage, $100,000 plus. If you don't have it, get it. Please listen to his interview. He's the only non-Manager Tools voice ever in the history of Manager Tools, our Career Tools podcast. And John's preface, the frontispiece to his book, says, this is what I tell my friends. So you're our friends. We want to help you. And this guy who was quoted is being a little bit misleading, and he's blaming the market schizophrenia on the fact that some people are doing well and some people are not in the market. It's not the market. It's the candidate. There are some candidates that, because companies are really, really not hiring a great deal right now, but things are starting to warm up here in the second half of 2011, and I don't think it'll really get much warmer than it is now through Christmas, and then maybe in 2012 it'll start doing better. I think it will. Okay, but it's not a schizophrenic market. That's the difference between a candidate who is really good and has got all the right experience and is doing a really good search and has a great resume and interviews well. Those people are getting lots of offers because of the few offers that companies can give, they want those offers to go to people who are absolutely nearly overqualified for the job. Okay. And they tend to be, to some degree, at a little bit more senior levels. Now, there are some other things in the article. There's some good and bad things. I love this. There's a bit at the end that says five things that may help you get multiple offers, which, by the way, folks, multiple offers is good, but in this market, I wouldn't say you should go out and try to get five, and if you only get three, you should be upset, or if you only get one offer, you should say, well, I really would like to be one of those people who get multiple offers. The market's not schizophrenic. It's just it's much more focused, and if you have the right skills, yeah, it's possible you get multiple offers. Okay. One of the comments is, show your track record, and I'm just going to quote right from the Fortune article. Demonstrate revenue or market share gains or change circumstances. Oh, okay, you mean like have an achievement or accomplishment that relates to what the company might want you to do if, in fact, they're hiring for a position like that, okay? There's also a couple of things that are kind of vague. Go from wide to narrow. Show how you toggle between strategic vision and implementing plans. I think that's kind of dumb. It's a little too big picture. There's another thing. Be resourceful. You're a solution in search of a problem. Not so good. Know the details. Show your specific knowledge about all aspects of your current company. Yeah. Okay, yeah, part of that is having great accomplishments. But there's a lot of sort of fluff in this article, but I really like the one that says, show your track record. And that comes from accomplishments, folks. And it's not a schizophrenic market. It's a tight market. And you should be doing everything you can to be effective. And one of those things is make sure your accomplishments are right. Get it in Microsoft Word. Get rid of that executive summary. Put a cover letter on it. You don't need to follow the fashion. It's not a marketing problem. It's not a fashion problem. It is a quality of content problem. As long as your resume demonstrates what you've done and how well you've done it, that's enough. And then you need to work on networking and get in front of as many people as you can. And please come to the forums if you need help. And if you really are struggling, send Wendy or I a note. Send a note to show at manager-tools.com and we'll do what we can.
Excellent. All right, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, partner.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you all next week. Meantime, have a great one. So long.